Thank you, first of all, for being here. I'm absolutely happy and impressed. I better not spill this. For you to be here, because as you know, I couldn't really be certain this morning. However, I want to thank Bill for inviting me. And he already gave you the story that the most amazing thing is that over 1 month ago, because he has to put it in the newsletter, he asked me to pick a topic. And I was just guided to, oh, this would be something interesting. And I challenged myself to do the research and to come up with just the right thing to say and affirm that the right thing is coming to me. So it's extra special to be here this morning, and I appreciate all of you. The drive, as usual, was very nice also. There were low clouds, little fog, little ground fog, but the trees are budding out, and you can tell spring is on the way. And this morning, I was reminded on Facebook that this is a special day because it is the anniversary of the blizzard of 1993. Any of you remember? Beverly, yeah. Do you remember?
I wasn't here.
Oh.
I was in Tampa, but yeah. We own property up in the mountains here, and I heard from a lot of people.
Yes. It was fun for about 2 days. And after that, we had the same situation. No showers, don't use toilet paper. You know, this is some very interesting things happening because we couldn't get out for a week. Nobody could. So I was reminded of that this morning, and I thought, this is really a special day, and I am so glad all of you are here. And as I usually do, I'd like to start with something a little lighthearted before we get into basically what Bill was talking about to help us find some answers. So you will appreciate this. There was a lady who lived by herself. One day she came home and she found her house had been robbed and the robber was still there. Well, this lady was very well versed in the Bible, and so she shouted at the robber, Acts 2:33. That's the Bible verse that says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, the robber stopped dead in his tracks. He sat calmly and waited while the lady called the police. The police arrived and proceeded to arrest the robber. The policeman noticed that the robber was somewhat of a burly guy and the lady was a small, petite thing. Well, this intrigued the policeman so much that he finally asked the robber, "Why didn't you just run or something? She is so much smaller than you are. All she did was yell a Bible verse at you." The robber looked up at the policeman with a shock. "A Bible verse? What?" The policeman said, "Yes, a Bible verse." The robber just can't believe it. And he tells the policeman, "I thought she had an axe and 2 38ths. And I have to read it because I'm not too good in telling jokes that I need to remember. So what a great misunderstanding this was that was prompted by a single question. Why didn't you just run? Either that or he needed to have his hearing checked, right? So all of us face lots of questions every day. As a teacher, as a parent, wherever you work, even if you're retired and you just go for a stroll, people talk to you and ask you questions, right? People love to ask questions. Now, for serious questions, the answers may not be as easy as we think, and sometimes we need to be careful because our answers And our intention along with the answers may be a bit different than how it's perceived. So sometimes we need to be aware of intention and perception, also depending on who we're talking to and what the subject matter is. And then there are questions that are plain embarrassing if you don't know the answer when we feel that we should. Amy Klobuchar, it happened to her. I don't know if you saw it, but we watched the debates. She forgot the name of the president of Mexico. And boy, a big deal was made of it. And I think when you're under stress, this happens. Or as we get older, it will happen more and more. And I really felt for her. But it was embarrassing. And then there are ridiculous questions. You know, every day, and you'll appreciate that, I wonder, why do I have to unsubscribe from websites I never subscribe to? Does that happen to you? Now, that's a ridiculous thing. Why do I have to do that? So you get the idea. There are many different kinds of questions. Over Christmas holiday, Dave and I watched the movie The Two Popes. And there is a dialogue about common prayer. The cardinal asks the Pope, is it permitted to smoke while praying? Oh, and the Pope says, well, that's the wrong question. You need to rephrase the question. It should be, is it permitted to pray while you're smoking? So you see, there is a wisdom in there. It doesn't matter in your mind. We can be one with our higher power. We can be in prayer. And anyway, it's a great movie if you get a chance to see it. Now, answers for most common questions are so easy to find now on the internet. To find anything or to do research goes so much faster than years and years ago when I went to college. It would take me, I don't know, days, weeks, months, to go to the library to find all kinds of resources and to get them together. And now it's like clicks of the mouse and answers are there. So that's kind of an easy situation to find answers to if they're common questions. Now, regardless of the question, it's often considered a compliment if you have the answers for someone that seriously asks you a question. But according to Eastern philosophy, when someone rejects your answer, we need to lower our defenses and not raise them, because those people that give us challenges, like students and children or the neighbor, they're our teachers in disguise, because the thought process then gets us in the mood to do more thinking about it and more searching for answers. And to admit that we're not certain of a correct answer is always the beginning of a journey. And when I thought about this talk and just starting to put it together, I was thinking about the journey of searching for any kind of answer. But now, how fitting is it for us to search now and having to go within, because we don't really have all the answers out there on a silver platter. And even people that think they give you answers, they don't even agree a lot of times. So we need to search, and we need to know who we are, and that we are safe, secure, and sound, and we need to remember that really for us as God's children, anything is possible. And that way we can say yes when challenging questions come up. Can I do this? Should I do this? Should I go ahead? Yes, because we are not alone. With a mindset of being able to do whatever is necessary, we activate our energy flow and the resources to do what's necessary to find the answers. And all the answers we need are within, because we have our still small voice, which is our divine guidance, and some people just call it follow your gut, but what it is our divine guidance within. And this is why there are no coincidences, that we are divinely guided to do, even to say and to work on what's appropriate. I believe that as much as Bill does. So I find it's really super enlightening to ponder answers to our personal questions and also personal questions that other people trust you with. And when we admit that we just don't know, then we really realize how much there is to contemplate, how much we need to go inside and work on self-discovery and work on those personal challenges of thinking and checking and going back to the source, basically. Because the most important part of the answer is that we are God's children. You know, God doesn't make junk. We are a spark of the divine, and we are by nature joyous and blessed. All of you are smiling. I just want to point this out. So we know we're joyous and we're blessed and we're just happy to be where we are. So Ernest Holmes, in The Science of Mind, which some of you are familiar with, he says, we are beacons of light. So be aware of who we are. Affirm the answers or a perfect outcome. Affirmations are very powerful when we know what we want, but the answers have not manifested yet. So we're going into the direction of manifesting what we need. My favorite affirmation every day is, I do all things easily, perfectly, on time, and in order. It gives me a sense of security and the assurance that all my needs are met. And remember, Jesus said, ask and you shall be given. So he's my teacher and way shower, and I think that's a pretty good idea if you ask. But remember to ask and then affirm. Affirmations vitalize and jumpstart our faith to perfect outcome. Now, I know that everything is unfolding as it should. Even with our current pandemic situation, it is. It will be all right sooner or later. And there are lessons and adventures in this unfoldment. The adventure of going to the grocery store and there's no toilet paper, there is an adventure in that unfoldment. And especially when it's not what we expected. I expect anything, but not that I won't be able to buy paper towels. I don't know how to live without paper towels, but if I have to, I will learn. So a great helper to realize, understand, and find answers here is prayer. Ernest Holmes says, some prayers are more effective than others. Some only help us to endure, while others transcend conditions and demonstrate an invisible law which has the power over the visible. Prayer is a mental approach to desired reality. Insofar as our prayer is affirmative, it is creative of the desired results. So this tells us the importance of our affirmations as well as accompanying them with visualization. See in your mind what you desire. When I go to Walmart, I picture the shelves full of toilet paper and paper towels, and I smile, and it's easier to get to Walmart. So another big support in our journey is faith. Every religion teaches faith. If you read the Talmud, the Quran, whatever you read, they speak of faith. That's why we call people of all faiths on this earth. Everybody has a faith. Faith allows us to give worry, uncertainty, and questions over to our higher power. In 2 Corinthians, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. So again, the faith stimulates the visualizations, so we create our sight of what we're desiring inside, within us, with our divine guidance. In unity, we say faith means feeling all right in the heart, or forward all issues to heaven. We know that anything we can think or conceive of, our mind will try to find a way to bring it to fruition. At least there's problem solving and reassurances along the way. In the New Testament, in letters to the Hebrews, it says, and this one you all know, you've heard it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We often hear that faith moves mountains. It is also true that a person who has the faith to move mountains and dies 6 weeks later has moved mountains for 6 weeks. And on that last hour of the last day, he decided, okay, I've had enough, and I'm on to another adventure. And you know, we know people that have done that. I know we know. Looking at Beverly, and she knows who I'm talking about, right? Okay. Regardless of the question and the situation, we must have faith that our higher power is the source of all good that we desire. We always keep going back to that. Charles Fillmore reminds us that faith is built up through denial of all doubt and fear and continuous affirmations of loyalty to the higher self. One must have faith in one's spiritual capacity and depend on it in the face of adverse appearances. Good prescription for what's happening now. But there's also a promise in Psalm 91:10. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. That's our assurance. Ernest Holmes says that the man who has faith in his own ability accomplishes far more than one who has no confidence in himself. Those who have great faith have great power. So if we bring out this faith and are totally in faith of what we believe and who we are, then no disaster will befall us. Whatever happens, we will be fine. I love this passage from Peter Pan. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it. So have faith, and as Nike says, just do it. And in trying times like this, oh my, do we dare have a bowl of ice cream? Who knows what's going to happen? We're happy in our faith, and yes, we'll have a bowl of ice cream, right?
With chocolate,
oh, and sprinkles too. And closely related to our faith, of course, is hope. And there is a nice essay I read of the author Byrne Williams. He said, the day the Lord created hope, he also created spring. And driving in this morning and seeing all the blooming trees and some of the daffodils in the center lane, you know, between the two lanes, I'm like, wow, this is, it's a hope and it's a promise, because there is the certainty that those trees are going to leaf out and be green and beautiful. So there's faith and hope and joy all rolled into one. And as you drive today, be aware of the beauty of nature and the fact that spring is coming, which is so wonderful if you think about, boy, I think we made it without a blizzard this
yes.
year. So hope is to picture a positive outcome for all pending questions. It is so important with the current coronavirus to have hope and faith and listen to the important information, but also I think we have to sort it out. What is hype? What is absolutely unimportant and what is important? So I think we can all do that in a good fashion. So Charles Fillmore, who I studied at length, and he gives us a lot of answers to certain questions and good input if you're looking for certain keywords. Charles Fillmore and Ernest Holmes are, to me, guiding lights and guide me back to the source. Anyway, Charles Fillmore, in one of his healing books, he says, of hope and faith, hope is the expectation of good in the future. Faith is the certain knowledge that our good is ours right now. It is of God and goes beyond time and space. And our affirmation here is, I trust in a perfect outcome. We know that in any life situation, the question of hope and faith are the first steps to success. We can do this. Along with them, we can use our affirmations, and we trust the universe to unfold as it should. The experience we're having at any time in our search is the one we need right at that moment. We are in divine order, and God is our one and only source. In closing, I want to share a passage from Letters to a Young Poet, from one of my favorite German poets, Rainer Maria Rilke. Say that fast 3 times. Yeah. Rilke says, have patience with everything that remains unsolved in your heart. Try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books written in a foreign language. Do not look for the answers. They cannot now be given to you because you could not live them. It's a question of experiencing everything. At present, you need to live the question. Perhaps you will gradually, without even noticing it, find yourself experiencing the answer some distant day. So let's all stretch a little bit, sit up tall, put your feet flat on the floor, hands in your lap, and close your eyes for a moment. Thank you, Mother, Father, God, for the perfect answers to our questions when we are ready to receive and live them. I affirm that all is well in my life and in my affairs. I pray for clarity and understanding. I have faith that everything will work out in divine and perfect order. I hope for a clear and timely answer. I trust in my higher power with all my heart and expect a perfect solution. And so it is. Enjoy your adventure in searching for some answers. You're welcome. Thank you.